Pull up this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got it, y'all.
Good.
Y'all can hear me. I'll just go without. I want to do a little, just a little bit recap on what we've been talking about. The our tree's got a little wind on here. So we made a little slight shift. When they were put in the church, we just put them up, right?
That's right.
But he said the son's at his right hand.
Yes.
And so we flipped them around. Is that okay?
Yes, right. It is.
But we saw that we needed to make a switch, and so we switched it. So I've been talking about two trees. One, I just saw sail out in the yard over there. I wasn't sure if somebody had. Okay. Kind of.
Just drag out your head.
Absolutely. We all run.
I jump fast.
So we are talking about two trees. One produces life. One produces death. And he tells us that choose life because it's important.
Right.
So I've been thinking about maybe doing just a little bit of review on what we talked about, because it makes sense when you start really analyzing it and you start scrutinizing what's the trick that the enemy uses. So I want to spend a little bit of time looking at that for you. But before I do that, I want to read to you from the second chapter of Genesis. We'll start with verse 15. And Yehovah Elohim took the man he put and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to guard it. When we covered these things, just a little bit of review. And Yehovah Elohim commanded the man, saying, eat of every tree of the garden, but do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat of it, you shall certainly die. Yehovah Elohim said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make a helper for him as his counterpart. And this, the reason I'm reading this again, because we're about to go into the part of the two women. So all the ladies in here, this service is not designed specifically for you, but there's going to be a lot of stuff said in here that will apply to you. It'll help you understand who you are, who you should be, and what God intends for you to be.
Amen.
So pay close attention to this. So now we have this language, which we didn't read this from before, so we have to go back and, in our review, add in this language. He said, I'm going to make a helper for you. And from the ground, Yehovah Elohim formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called each living being, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, and to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper for him as his counterpart. So Yehovah Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall on the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in its place, and the rib which Yehovah Elohim had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one is called woman because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother, cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. One flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, yet they were not ashamed. So I want to point something out to you. What happened was, is we talked about how Hasatan didn't directly attack Adam, but indirectly. What's the closest indirect contact to Adam that Hasatan had available to him? His wife. So what he did, he deceived his wife, and in the process, he influenced Adam. Let me understand that. He influenced him. We live in a world of influences, right?
Yes.
What's an influencer? An influencer is one who has an ability to change the minds and thoughts of people by way of videos, advertisement, slogans. They get a following, and then they're able to post, and they call them influencers. This is the thing. Well, Satan was the first influencer. His job is to influence people to think like he thought. I'm going to make my kingdom above his kingdom. In order for me to do that and get any strength behind my thoughts, I have to influence people. How many of the angels did he influence?
One third.
Think about that. Let's go to Revelation. So we're gonna really take our time on this because we want to look at it. It's gonna have to be done in more than one service. Anytime you open your text in Genesis and then your next following text Revelation, that means you got to cover everything in between, right? So in Revelation, we see something. Verse number one.
What chapter?
12. Revelation 12, verse 1. And a great sign was seen in the heavens, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And being pregnant, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign was seen in the heavens. Now this sign in the heavens, the first sign was of a what? A woman. Everybody say woman. This is important because I read to you in Genesis, we're talking about the woman, the first woman. And in Revelation, we talk about a woman. In this beginning statement, he talks about a woman being pregnant. She cried in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign was seen in the heavens, and see a great fiery red dragon. What's present when this woman's talked about?
Dragon.
A dragon. What's going to be present in Eve's life when we start that development of who she is? Hasatan, there he is. So we see what you call this is called a pattern in Scripture. Every woman has to protect herself from the influencer. Every woman. You need to know that. You say, well, I'm good. You know, Yeshua's got me. Well, Yeshua's teaching you. You need to protect yourself. You need to step it up a couple notches because the influence is out to influence your thoughts, influence your ideas, influence the way you conduct yourself. You say, that ain't ever going to happen to me. It happened to Eve. She was perfect. She was clothed in glory. Yes, she was influenced by the influencer. You have to understand, Hasatan is an influencer. Now let's see. Let's prove it in the text, right? We want the text to tell us. I'm saying it, but I want to show you what the text says. So this great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head, and his tail drew a third of the stars of the heavens and throws them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. Where's Hasatan at? He's right there waiting for the woman to give birth. Why? To devour the child. Now this 12 of Revelations, we're going to revisit this in much more detail, but I had to bring that to show you that if I tell you that Hasatan is an influencer, I've already proved that he is an influencer.
Yes.
Just by reading Revelation.
Yes.
One third of the angels were influenced by his tactics. And so if we think we can't be influenced, then we're kidding ourselves. We don't want to be influenced, but he has the power to influence. And so we want to make sure. Remember, Yeshua even said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Remember, he said that.
Right.
So he understood that this influencer is out to influence us. I want you to get this. So what Hasatan did is he got Eve to turn her head. You can't be influenced unless you turn the head. You turn the head because in the head you got two what?
Eyes.
He's not interested in your mouth. He's interested in your eyes because this is the gateway into the soul.
Right.
So he got Eve to turn her head, and when she turned her head, what did she see? Beauty. It was amazing. What did she smell? You understand? She was drawn in because this is beautiful. And he wants us to understand that Satan had to use a tactic that would get her to turn her head. The moment she turned her head, what happened to Dawid? He turned his head. And then the rest is history. And what a great price he had to pay. But the issue is Hasatan is the influencer, and he's trying to turn the head. And he couldn't get Adam directly. He could, just like Balaam, Balak says, you got to curse Israel. But he couldn't get them directly, so he indirectly did it by using who? Women. He used women, the beauty of the women, to turn the heads of the men. And because of it, he affected them for a long time and brought great destruction. They were so affected, they began to pass their children through the fire of Moloch.
Yes. Right.
And so the effect of the influencer could be devastating and could last for generations. We're still feeling the effects of the generations that have been affected by the mixture that's happened in the world.
That's right.
Because it lasts for a long time. So what the influencer did, he says, I'm going to influence Eve. If I can influence her, then I can effectively get to Adam. Let's look at how he did it. Out of Adam's own mouth, he said, she is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So what Eve represented was Adam's flesh. So in a good, tangible, understandable way to put what we have to deal with every day is the flesh. If you see your flesh in the feminine essence, you understand that it represents weakness. Now stay with me. This is not a beat up on ladies service. I'm just showing you what the text tells us. Your flesh, if you understand your flesh as the feminine side, is the weakest part of you. Who was deceived? Adam or Eve?
Eve.
Eve was deceived. Adam was influenced.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Now, could he be directly influenced by Hasatan? It wouldn't work. You got two light beings, because when we proved, looking at this as the start of this, and again, this is probably the fourth part. I call it part two, because that's how I put the notes down, but I couldn't finish it in one session. So basically, there, if you hadn't heard the other parts, it's hard for me to cover all that stuff. But we showed you that Hasatan, in his coming to influence Adam, he was not going to go directly to him, because we're not talking about a snake's a snake's a snake. See, the story that we have about the Genesis story, it was a snake in the garden that could talk. And you're trying to wrestle with that the rest of your life. But what if it's a fallen angel named Lucifer, or Hasatan, and he's a being of light? And Adam's a being of light. We showed you that his skin glowed. Eve's skin glows. The Bible says they both were naked, were not ashamed, because they were clothed in the light of God. Now you have two opposing factors kind of come together, and Hasatan knows he don't win that war. He don't win against Adam one-on-one. But he has to get to him some kind of way. That's why the woman has to understand her position and what God said about her. Not me, but what God said about you. That way you can then build a proper protection around you so you don't get influenced. Does that make sense? But if you don't see yourself to have a need for the protection, you won't put it there. We do what we have to do. That's how we're made. We do what we have to do. If we don't have to do it, we don't do it. And so unless you see who you are, you don't even know how to protect yourself. In this case, we're being told who Eve was. And so Eve represents his flesh, which is the feminine side, right? She's a female. And so now that she's representing his flesh, he affects his, Hasatan affects the flesh of Adam through his wife. How do we know that she's his flesh? He said it. She is now bone of bone, flesh of flesh. We didn't say that. That's what the text says. And so when Hasatan comes and starts to manipulate the story about what God said and what God didn't say, he sells her a lie. What's the lie? You won't certainly die. That's the lie. And then he covers it over with the truth. You'll be as God, knowing good and evil. That's the truth. How do we know that's the truth? What did we prove that that's the truth? Because God later on says, before he casts them out, he says, we have to remove Adam and Eve from the garden because they're like us, knowing good and evil. Yehovah said it. So we proved that Satan wasn't lying there. He was telling the truth. But he sold a lie. He influenced a lie, covered over with a little truth, and then he got him to buy it. Good influences can get you to buy what you don't want. Can I tell you, before influence was a thing, Hasatan was the influencer? To convince you to get something you don't even need is a good influencer. To convince you to trade the best you got for something less, but you don't really see it, that's a good influence, and that's what Hasatan did. And so what he did, he influenced Adam's flesh, which was representative of Eve. And because he influenced Adam's flesh, he got to Adam through his wife. And so don't be the one who views as an influencer against the husband. That's tragedy. Maybe not now, but it's inevitable. It will be. Be a woman that'll humble herself. And so if you look at James, go to James 4. This is just stuff that popped in my head. And so this is not in my notes, so I'm having to do it out of my head. Right? If it popped in my head once, it's going to have to pop in my head again. Because I don't have time to put it on paper. I already did all that. So in Yaakov, we see something that I think is important for us to understand. It's valuable for us to look at. In chapter 4 of James, or Yaakov, he talks about something here that I think is important for us to really grab hold to. It's something that you can pray to protect yourself. How many women want to protect yourself from that never happening to you? Or maybe it's happened before in your past, and you don't want to happen again. You don't want that. You don't want to be influenced. Amen. Well, there's a prayer or a scripture that you can pray that'll guarantee it'll never happen to you again if you pray it correctly. Wouldn't you want to know that? I wouldn't want to know that.
Amen.
I don't want to be influenced by the enemy. And listen, men can be influenced.
That's right.
How do we know? Hasatan influenced Adam's flesh, therefore ultimately influencing him. The tactic he used was to go through his flesh, which is the feminine essence. Literally, the feminine essence. Her name was Eve, or Hawa. Do you understand? So yeah. we understand that principle. And so God is telling us how our mind should think and how we should analyze the situation that we're up against. So if we don't take God's instruction to analyze, then we leave that off the table, and then we try to figure it out ourselves. And you may or may not get that right. And that could be devastating to the family. It could be devastating to the community. Because if you break the family, you break the community. If you break the community, you break the church. Help me understand that.
Yes.
Not so goes the church, so goes the home.
Right.
If so goes the home, so goes the church.
Right.
The church is the effect of the church is exactly what's happening within the home. And so we have to work on ourselves. not looking out to the community, work on us. We work on ourselves to be better and be what God wants us to be. But we have to have the right information in order to process everything correctly to do what God wants us to do. So I think we're establishing something. Number one, Adam had no wife. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helper, a counterpart. So he makes this woman, and this woman now represents Adam literally flesh of flesh, bone of bone. And Hasadan, in the attack toward Adam, who does he attack? His flesh. He attacks his flesh. And what are you under attack of? What's being attacked in your life every day? Not your spirit. He ain't there. You know way he's coming at your spirit. He's coming at your flesh. And that could be literally or spiritually. So literally would be the home through the wife. Spiritually would be directly through you, the feminine essence of your flesh. And you got to understand, the flesh is weak.
Yes.
Remember, so he knew that the flesh was weak, so God had to send his own son. He had to send his own son. And he clothed him in what? Flesh. Clothed in flesh. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see, you're not making this up. It's what the text is telling. It's kind of showing us. It's putting dot to dot to dot. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So he tabernacled among us, but he had to put on an earthly tent. What we've been hanging out in? Tent. So Sukkot, the messaging during Sukkot is all, it's so much stuff. You just have to sit down, and maybe we'll sit down today and go over for the next eight, 9 hours. Because that's how much messaging is in Sukkot. But think about this. Hasatan says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to come against Adam's flesh. And his flesh had a name. His flesh was a person. And you think Hasatan cares? He could care less. You think he cares that he wrecks the home? He can care less. You think Hasatan cares about divorce? Cares about children with no parents? You think that he cares? He cares. He don't care about that. But we should care. Yeah. Every one of us should care. So we should do our very best to love with the love that only he can give. To have a compassion with a compassion only he can give. When you hug your kids or your grandkids, tell them you love them all the time. You should tell them.
Absolutely.
When kids are this high, they ought to be running around saying, I love you, I love you.
That's right.
But they'll never do that if you never tell them. You got to tell them.
Right.
And so we have to express what we want them to be in life. And it's important that we do that because we know that Hasatan is going to come as an influencer to influence our children in a negative way. He's going to put all kinds of things in front of them. And nowadays, they wrap it up in various cartoons with message in there that's not healthy for the family. Do you understand?
That's right.
It's not healthy. You say, well, we like it. You can like it, but that don't mean it's healthy.
Right.
So at some point, we have, you know, the television or the different videos, YouTube is not a parent.
Amen.
You're the parent. I'm the parent.
That's right.
And so we have to take our position. And the same thing that Adam was faced with, you're faced with today. The great influencer that you say it never happened to me, and you're the very one it happens to.
Yes,
I'm good, me. You telling yourself you're good, and you know good and well you're not good.
No.
You know good and well that you don't have the power or the authority to override what Hasatan says.
Right.
And so you're being influenced. And great influencers have that ability. They get 1 million followers, and they post a viral video, and they get another 1 million followers, and they become influencers. It's a thing today. And everybody's trying to be an influencer. Well, there's no greater influencer than Hasatan. He can take a perfectly good home with a child in it, being raised up, they're doing good, and all of a sudden influence one or the other and separate that home. Happens all the time. One in 50% of all marriages end up in divorce and brokenness.
Yes.
What happens to the child when that happens? Think about that. Kids go through a lot.
Yes, they do.
And they got to have a defender. And God defends them in his word, and he teaches us what we should do, and we have to learn to listen to what he says. So, again, understand that Hasatan, to get to Adam, he went straight to his flesh. He went to his flesh and said, I'm going to get to him through his flesh. Mm-hmm. How is he going to get to you? Through your flesh. Mm-hmm. Through your appetite, through your desire. The flesh wants, and after you give it all it wants more.
Yeah.
That's the flesh. It's a never-ending appetite. It eats, and 2 minutes later, it's hungry again. Some of us is real life like that. I get like that sometimes. You eat something sweet, you want something salty. You eat something salty, you want something sweet. And you can go all day doing that. So we're trying to satisfy a deficiency. That's why
that's it.
We're trying to satisfy a deficiency. And so, and it never can happen. At some point, you can't put no more in. If you lean over, a Twinkie falls out. So, it is a container, and it only holds so much. So, you only can go so far. So, at some point, you're forced to stop. But if you can go and feel like you got more room, you keep going. But at Hasatan, he wants to make you think that you never have enough. You look at your house, it's not big enough. You look at your car, it's not new enough. You look at your boat, you want a bigger one. You want a faster one. It's always something else. And so he wants you to make you think that what you have is not sufficient. Yet Shaul said, we ought to learn to be content in whatever state we're in. Because our satisfaction is not in stuff. It's in who we live for. It's who we serve. And so you can have the least, but have the most when you recognize who it is that you live for. And so we see that this is something that we look at. Now let's go to this Yaakov. I didn't go there yet, right? I got you there. Chapter 4? All right, let's look at this prayer, because this is going to help you. It says, verse 7, so then, subject yourself to Elohim. Let me see that word, subject.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
That's a very interesting word. And what we need to do is look at that word as deep as we possibly can. In the Greek, we see something there that's fascinating. Let me pull it up in the... in here so I could really deal with it. Hupotasso. Hupotasso, it means subordinate. Reflectively, to obey. Let me see that. You know why it means this? Because it's a military term. Understand, it's a military term. It's not just a superficial way that we understand subject. But this is military terminology that's being spoken here. Subject yourself to Elohim. First of all, you can't subject properly to Elohim if you don't recognize him as the ruler, the one in charge, your authority. He's the captain of the guard. If the captain of the guard says, line up, what do? Sit around?
Hallelujah.
Do you lollygag?
No.
No, you line up.
Right.
And if you lollygag the slightest little bit, you don't understand this word submit. If you go in the military, the first thing they do, they break all the lollygagging off of you.
Yep.
They call it hell week. You're either going to quit or you're going to line up.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care if you quit. You want to quit, go ahead and quit. You're not getting back in after that.
Right.
But if you want to really submit to the authority, you're going to have to do what they tell you. When they say sit, you sit. When they say stand, you stand. When they say toe the line, you toe the line. That's just the way it is. You don't get to say, well, why? See, that's us. God asks us to, in the seventh month, on the 15th day of the month, he says, I want you to get all your camping stuff together and Sukkot with me. Why?
That's right. Why?
That don't make sense to me. I got a perfectly good house with air conditioner, with a nice soft bed. Why would I do that? You see, we do have a submission issue sometimes. But thank God for this group here who came here to submit to Yehovah. Amen?
Yeah.
Right. Why you got to do that? Because until you do that, the rest of the verse don't apply to you. It don't apply to you. Hasatan has control of you if you don't submit to him. Because you're going to either obey and eat from this tree or disobey and eat from that tree. And if you eat from this tree, you've been influenced. You're going to be influenced. You're going to do stuff that is mind-blowing crazy. Anybody ever been there?
That's right.
I mean, just you look at it now and you're shocked. Listen, I don't want to say it's not your fault because it is your fault, but you was influenced.
That's right.
Yes.
You were being influenced, and you can't be influenced unless he turns the head. Because he got to get in. He can't get in unless you get your eyes gazing. Yep. And before you know it, the eye gate opens up, allows the enemy to influence you. And it's a very appealing. That's why commercials are built around influencing you to what appeals to men. What appeals to men? Sensuality.
Yeah.
Right? That's just what appeals. And so what is the commercials built around? That stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if they're selling you the car, they ain't getting Jesse to go out there and show you the car.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't getting Bob to go show you the car, or Rob.
That's right.
They're going to get a pretty woman to sell the car. That's how they do it at the Miami Boat Show. You go in the boat show, they hire women throughout the boat show to stand in front of these million-dollar boats and do this. You ask them, well, what kind of boat that is? They don't know what kind of boat. They ain't hired to tell you what kind of boat it is. They're here to be the influencer. They're to get you to see the boat, look at the boat. And at some point, the guys actually get their eyes off gaze and look at the boat. But do you understand? You're passing by. They have no clue. They don't know what's the front or the back. You ask them, does it have a motor? I don't know. I'm not here to show you the motor.
Uh-huh.
You understand my point? That's the tactic of the enemy.
Yeah.
And so that's what he's trying to do. So you're going along just to get along, and you think you're doing good. That's not good enough. You don't go along just to get along. You got to dig into this thing, and you got to commit your life to it, and you got to ask God to help you, because he will influence you in a second.
Right.
You'll be influenced. So what is his tactic? To influence your flesh. If I can influence your flesh, then I can beat you. And so we see that. So let's go to this hupotasso. It's a military term, and it's to be under obedience. Let me see that. To be under obedience. It's to put under or subdue into, put in subjection, under, submit self unto. It's to arrange under a subordinate. Who's our subordinate? Who's our subordinate right now in the kingdom? Who's our subordinate? Yeshua's our subordinate. And we're supposed to arrange under the subordinate, not over him. We're under the subordinate. So when Hasatan looks at Rob, he sees Yeshua, what he does? What does he do? He flees, he runs as in terror, because he already been beat once. He don't want to take that licking again. But if he sees Rob's flesh, because he can't be under the subordinate, he's going to come and influence him. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yes.
So again, we're dealing with these two trees, and what really happened in the garden. I know this is not the story you knew all your life. You know the snake's a snake's a snake, and we don't even want to fool with the story if it's about a snake. You see how the enemy's so tricky? He can take a definition, and it is most of the time translated as serpent, but it's only because of its sound. Now, if we don't find that out, then we don't want to search out what else is there. But if you understand that, now you got this difference. If you ask most people about the story of the garden, they're going to tell you about the snake and the snake. You know, the snake told Eve something, and it's just very superficial.
Right.
It don't really carry through in life after that. You can't really apply it to life today. Am I applying it to life right now?
Yeah.
Because this story is a never-ending story. It's still going on today, and from Genesis to Revelation, it talks about it. Yet we fail to really emphasize the story of what happened in the garden to nothing more than a Sunday school lesson.
That's right.
Instead of a life lesson. It's just a story. And we have watered the word down to these little shorts. And everybody's familiar with that, these short videos. It's all it is. You know, you can only get Daniel in the lion's den so long. Meshach and the billy goat got him out the fire already.
You got it.
We got him out the fire already. But we have to see these lessons, they're life lessons.
That's right.
They last forever, and they'll help us understand. So, again, if you understand this scripture and pray this scripture and believe this scripture, you'll never be influenced. So then, subject yourself to Elohim. Resist the devil. How many know we have to resist the devil?
Right.
Very important that we resist the devil. Now, the word resist is, again, one of those Greek words that maybe not be so easy to pronounce, but it's anistemi. And it's against, that is opposed or resist or withstand. How many know you got to withstand? The first thing you got to do is say no.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. A thought comes, not today. That ain't going in my mind. I'm not thinking those thoughts. You have to say no. That's the resist. But to say nothing is almost inviting. You have to stand up and say no. I'm not doing that. Now, it's based on what you align yourself with. If you're not aligning with anything, you don't even know when to say no. But if you're lined up with Yeshua, and you see the enemy comes and it's something that's opposing what Yeshua stands for, then you have to say no. That's the word resist. You have to say no. To set oneself against, to withstand, resist, oppose, to set against. How are you going to set against something that you don't know it stands for? How are you going to withstand Hasatan when you don't know his tactics? He's not going to come in there with guns blazing. He's going to come in there with a hip. He's going to real. He's going to, this is what he did Eve.
Right.
You got Eve right here. Turned to him and said, look how beautiful. You smell it? Look how nice it is. It won't hurt you. You eat this, you'll be as God. You'll be just like him. Therefore, causing doubt that somehow God made her less than he should have. And he withheld this from her. And if God really cared about you and loved you that much, he would have gave you this tree too. Isn't it amazing he gave you all the trees in the garden, but this one he kept from you? How dare God. Mm-hmm. Mean God. Mean God.
Uh-huh. Right.
And so, it was appealing. And he attacked Adam's flesh. So what's the job of the men? Don't let your flesh get attacked. That's both spiritually and literally, physically. Your wife is your flesh. Mm-hmm. Don't let the enemy attack your flesh.
Right.
Be a protector. Be one who protects. Be one who is aware that she's not under that attack from the enemy, because the influence is real. He's just as much of a powerful influence as he was in the garden as he is now. And now he has decades and decades and decades of lies and manipulation. That's watered down the word so much you can't even understand what it's saying anymore, unless you take the time to be a student of scripture and open up some definitions and concordances to really find out what's been said. And so we just take it at surface level, we read it in English, never check its original language, yet God has protected his word, even from the great translators of our day. He protected his word. Because he knows he's dealing with people who have an ability to maybe not say the entire thing. And so that's what we see happening. When it says, and the serpent was more subtile, that's really condensed down the text. The serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field. And so you think snakes are snakes are snakes. And you never leave out of that realm. And we have to. We have to understand that there's so much more to that. So, if you pray this prayer, I'm subject to Elohim, I resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. The word flee is another interesting word, because it's just hugo. Hugo, apparently, a primary verb to run away, by implication to shun, by analogy, vanish, escape, flee. So basically, if you resist the devil, he will flee or run as in terror. He'll run like he's afraid of you. And so once you are in the right army, right? You get in the right army, and the enemy sees what army you're in, he's going to be hesitant about attacking. Because you align yourself with Yeshua. If you have Yeshua as the captain of the guard with his sword drawn, and you're standing in rank behind him, what do you think Satan's going to do when he comes and looks down at that line? He's going to say, okay, I ain't going to fool with this group. They got the captain of the guard, and they follow in rank. Now, you can claim the captain of the guard, but be over here. You have to line yourself up. Remember, submit means to line up. It's a military term. File in rank. Make sure you submit and obey and walk in obedience to what he's asked you to do. Very important. So if you took James 4, verse 7, we read it, we talk about it, we preach it like it's just an automatic thing. You know, submit yourself therefore to the Lord and resist the devil, he'll flee from you. We say it real quick and think people go around it, and that's just kind of a weapon that they can have. But we never explain what it means to submit. If people just use it, they just read the word of God right there, but there's no authority when they read it. None whatsoever. Are we submitting to him? Or do we still want to do what we want to do? Are we really submitting to his plan and purpose for our life? Or we want God, but we want him to come alongside of what we want to do. We desire God, but he's going to have to make some adjustments if he thinks I'm... You know, you're going to have to adjust that Sukkot, that camping for a week. I'll do one night. God's got to adjust, and somehow we're submitting to him. So now that we've reviewed a little bit, let's go into the subject of two women. The tree of life or the path of life. I want you to think about this. Two paths. There's this path. And there's this path. Did Yeshua talk about two paths? He talked about the straight and narrow path, and he talked about the broad path. Did our master not say that?
Yes.
You ever wonder where he got that from? As I'm trying to teach you about the two trees, our master knew it without, it was unadulterated. It didn't go through many brains. He understood it clearly. As I'm trying to, hopefully I'm trying to express it to you, he understood about the two trees a lot better than I do. I'm just in my limited capacity to teach you some of the things that Yeshua understood would make sense that he talked about two paths. We have two trees, there's two paths. One is straight and narrow. That's what our master said. The other's broad. And he said on the straight and narrow, just a few people. But on the broad way, there are many. You know, if you get it easier for people, they love that. No problem. It's easier. But if you make it straight and narrow, and you have rules and regulations, and you have appointed times, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to do that. But there's two paths. I want you to think about it. And we have to ask ourselves, what path are we on? The tree of knowledge of good and evil is a path to death. The tree of life is the path to life. One's a path to death. The other's a path to life. So it goes to Deuteronomy. We talked about Deuteronomy 30. He said, I set before you life and death, blessing and curse, and choose life. Again, we have one that's a path of life. The other's a path of death. So I want you to go to Proverbs with me. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 13 says, blessed is the man who has found wisdom And the man who gets understanding. Let me see that.
Hallelujah.
I want you to look at that verse. Look at it carefully. I'm going to read it again. Blessed is the man who has found wisdom. Now, does he mean you're finding wisdom because it's law? It could be, and it has been. But he's not necessarily saying that it can't be found. But you got to find it. You understand that? Blessed is the man who found wisdom. So somehow that word found is indicating something that was either missing or misunderstood or lost altogether. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gets understanding. Now, rather than me telling you what wisdom is, which I can tell you right now exactly what it is in a very short word, why don't we let the text tell us what it is? Let's let the scripture tell us what wisdom is. That way it's not my definition, not your definition. It's what God's going to tell us about this. Because we got to find it, right? We got to find this wisdom. And we have this understanding, a man who gets this understanding. So it's wisdom, and with wisdom comes what? Understanding. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we can let the text tell us what this wisdom is. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 1 says, "And now, O Israel, listen to the laws and the right rulings which I am teaching you to do, so that you live and shall go in and possess the land which Jehovah Elohim of your father has given you. Do not add to the word which I command you, and do not take away from it, so as to guard the commands of Jehovah your Elohim which I'm commanding." Verse 3, "Your eyes have seen what Jehovah did to Baal Peor, for Jehovah your Elohim has destroyed from your midst all the men who follow Baal Peor. But you who are clinging to Jehovah your Elohim are alive today, every one of you." What caused them to be alive? They were doing what?
Clinging.
Clinging. I want you to put clinging on a piece of paper. That's going to be something that we'll look at later on. Maybe not in today's part, but tomorrow's part, we'll look at it again. Clinging. Write it on a piece of paper. Just put a highlight over that line or underline it. "But you who are clinging to Jehovah, your Elohim, are alive today, every one of you." Can I tell you that? Clinging to Jehovah and being alive, it has a great connection.
Right.
Yeah. Clinging and being alive has a great connection.
Right.
Verse 5, "See, I have taught you laws and right rulings as Jehovah my Elohim commanded me to do thus in the land which you go to possess. You shall guard and do them, for this is your..." What?
Wisdom.
"Guard and do them." What is the garden do them that we're talking about? The Torah. So now what did the word define wisdom as? Say it loud. The Torah. In my notes I have Torah in parentheses right next to wisdom. But I don't want to just give it to you. I wanted the word to show you what it is, because once I show you the word, you'll put the Torah next to wisdom in parentheses too, because the word just defined it, not us.
Right.
So he says right here, "And you shall guard to do them." Them is talking about his right ruling is a command. You guard to do them, for this is your wisdom. Let me see that. "And your understanding before the eyes of the people who hear all these laws and shall say, only a wise and understanding people is this great nation." Let me see that. What else comes with wisdom? Understanding. What is this telling us? In the same context, it's talking about wisdom and understanding, is it not? And so we see that. Now go to verse 14 of Proverbs. We're still in Proverbs 3. Verse 14, For the gain from it is better than the gain from silver, and its increase than fine gold." Gain from what? Which is the Torah. See, because if you just talk wisdom, you don't have the full definition. And so I want you to see that this wisdom that he's talking about, that he will personify here shortly, is talking about the Torah. Now, you have to get it in its totality, not just partial. Because sometimes we talk about wisdom, and we don't make the full connection that it is the Torah. But the word defines it for us, that it is. And so from now on, when I look at wisdom, I look at it as? I mean, does that make sense to everybody? Is this helping you already?
Yes.
Now, why am I going this slow route? Because you don't want to be influenced. None of our women here, listen, I have a job to do today, and that's to protect every woman in this tent right here. To protect you from being influenced. And to teach your husband how they can be a protector so they don't allow it to happen.
Amen.
You have to be an influencer. Yeah, I mean, you have to protect yourself from the influencer, and you have to look at it through how God views it and how he protects. She is more precious than rubies, and all your delight are not comparable to her. Now, he's speaking of this wisdom, but he calls this wisdom the Torah. She is more precious than rubies. How many see that we're dealing with what side? The feminine side. Because he's going to talk in the feminine, because God does that. Why does he do that? Because he's trying to project an attribute that he possesses by using figurative language or using personification so you understand deeper. You understand that God cares about every thought you have. Listen, don't ever think that God positioned a woman as second place.
Right.
If he didn't want her to be bone of bone and flesh of flesh, she wouldn't have been.
Right.
It's not second. You're right there beside.
Yes.
But it's you also are the gateway that Hasatan used, and let's not kid ourselves. The Bible says Eve was deceived, Adam wasn't deceived.
That's right. That's right.
So what happened to him? I can tell you what happened. He was influenced.
Mm-hmm.
His flesh was influenced.
Uh-huh.
That's what happened to him. And so Satan knew he couldn't deceive Adam, but he could influence him.
Yeah.
Just like Balaam couldn't curse Israel, but he could influence him. You see? When the devil worked, and it took a while for him to figure out, because he told Balak, he said, look, I can't curse him. I done tried 3-4 times, it's not working. But listen, I tell you what you can do. You can influence him. You can make him turn their head, and when he turned their head, you got him.
That's right.
What do you think the tactics of the enemy is today against you? He's trying to turn your head from the Torah.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
My job is to keep you in the Torah.
That's right.
Keep you in that wisdom.
Uh-huh.
And it's important that we do this together and we look at it. You'll see later on in part whatever, it all comes together. So, verse 16, he says, length of days is in her right hand. Riches and esteem in her left hand. Now, we're talking about wisdom personified. Her. That's all you're going to see. But if hers, the Torah, does that mean Yeshua is a her? Is he not wisdom? Is he not the living Torah? Shake your head like that. Sometimes all the pieces fall in place. It's God's way to get an attribute of how he handles things to you to see. Yeshua, again, here, and when we look at it, he operates in all attributes of the Father. One of the attributes of the Father is the feminine side called wisdom personified, which is the Torah. The Torah, he wants you to see that feminine essence of care that a man don't know how to give.
That's right.
That a woman specializes in.
Right.
She specializes in tending to her children. The Torah specializes in tending to his children. Do you understand?
That's right.
You can't use a man for that. But he has to show that attribute that you can't understand coming from a man's perspective. You have to come from a woman's perspective. Remember, God looks at Adam and Eve as one. Remember that? He wouldn't allow Adam to say that if it wouldn't have been true. How does he look at Adam and Eve? As one. They're one person. One. Flesh of flesh, bone of bone. So now, but we know that too. And how does Hasatan attack you? He attacks your feminine essence. Your flesh is the feminine essence. Because you also have in your flesh, you have an ability to be sensitive. You're sensitive. What's the first thing you do when you put fire to your flesh? What happens to it? Why? Because you're sensitive. The flesh is sensitive. You ever put fire to your spirit and said, "How?" Think about that. When you put it to your flesh, what happens? Because it's sensitive. Your spirit is not as sensitive to the outward attack. So he's not attacking your spirit. He's going to attack your flesh. Because you're very sensitive to the attack of the enemy. And so I want you to know, I was trying to sit there and day after day, how can I express this feminine essence of wisdom that's personified to his people to see it? And I'm praying that God is doing a great job with expressing this to us by his word today.
Amen.
Verse 17, her ways are pleasant ways. Her ways are pleasant ways. And all her paths are peace. Her paths are peace. Now watch this. Verse 18. Mm-hmm. She is a?
Tree of life.
A what?
Tree of life.
Did I write that in there?
No.
Just to make this work?
No.
She is a tree of life to those taking hold of her.
Come on.
So what do you want to do? You want to take hold of the tree of life. Until you get in this position, she's there, but she's not yours. Same thing with your wife. Until you took hold of her, put a ring on her, she wasn't yours.
Right.
But now that she is yours, you have a job to do, men. You have a job to do. Your job goes 24 hours, 7 days a week. It never stops. 365. You have a job to do. The only time your wife could be influenced by Hasatan is when somehow you lapse in your judgment when it comes to making sure she's
right.
Fully protected.
That's right.
How many understand that?
Right.
So this is not just the women have to fix everything. This is you working together and making sure that you know your position, she knows her position, and she don't, because emotionally, she's trying to figure out why is all this happening. I'm trying to show her today that this is how it's been designed. She is the weaker vessel. We're not talking about, you know, we're not trying to talk about strength or power. But we're talking about by design, she's the weaker vessel. And don't laugh, she came from you. And then you came from every other woman. Without woman, you're not here. You and I don't exist without a woman.
Right.
And so if you're trying to understand your wife, don't get mad at me. God made it that way. That's
come
my
on.
Answer.
That's right.
So if you come to me and say, well, man, my wife, I'm going to say, well, look, God made it that way.
Uh-huh.
It ain't my fault that you won't read slow enough to figure out what you're dealing with so you can help her along the way.
Uh-huh.
Quit trying to blame her. Walk alongside of her and speak life into her because you're talking to your flesh.
Yeah.
You see yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Man.
I told you this was going
to
go into love class.
Pastor, you have no idea. Let me just share this real quick. So, you know, I talked with you a couple weeks ago, and I asked you some questions. And this has just been nothing but confirmation. Because I went back, and we've been redoing all of those slides. And when you look at the word, I shared this with Nevaeh and Isaac. When you look at the feminine essence of Adam, it means ground. And so now this is making so much more sense, hopefully to you too, since you shared that she is the feminine essence.
Yep.
I was like, I know this ties, but I can't figure out how. So you just tied it.
But that's what I was telling you the other night after church. We're going to get there. We're just not quite there yet. We're almost there. Because it all ties together. There's not a subject you talk about that shouldn't, if it doesn't tie together, then maybe what you talk about shouldn't be there. It should all tie together. One don't cancel out the other, they only enhance the other. And so the man don't cancel out the wife, he enhances the wife, and the wife, her job is to enhance the husband. But before he sees himself, he will see you, and you're a reflection of him. And so if he really wants to see what he's dealing with on the inside, he takes a look at her. And that's the truth. We don't want to face it. That's the reality. And you can be easily influenced by Hasatan if you don't protect yourself. All right. Y'all with me still?
Yeah.
She is a tree of life to those taking hold of her, and blessed are all who retain her. You have to retain her. Do you have to retain the Torah? Absolutely. It's not a one-time reading. You go, well, let's just do it one time, and then we're going to go back to the Brit Hadi Shah. No, so you retain her. Let's look at Corinthians here. 1 Corinthians 1. Let's see what Shaul says about this. Because remember, we're not defining this text. We're not going to say what wisdom is. We're going to let the text tell. And Shaul said this in the Brit Hadishah. Corinthians 1:24. But to those who are called, both the Yehudim and the Greeks, Messiah, the power of Elohim, and the wisdom of Elohim. So who's Messiah? He's the power of Elohim, and also what?
The wisdom.
The wisdom of Elohim. So if Yeshua is the wisdom of Elohim, does that make him a woman? No, not in the literal sense, but figuratively. Figuratively, because who's his counterpart when he has to withstand the enemy? Who's his counterpart? His flesh. Remember, his flesh. What got beat up on the most? His flesh. In your life, who gets beat up on the most? My wife. Everybody say, my wife. You understand that? Are you getting this? Hello? Who you think got beat up the most in your family? I witnessed it. I watched it. Do you understand? Sometimes we don't get it. We miss what's happening. We have to tune in. We have to tune in a little bit. Sometimes we wouldn't even say what's on our mind because now we finally see it. We tuned in a little bit. Because it's not even what we think it's worth saying, but it's not worth it. What we should do is just pray and say, God, help me to be better. Help me to finally see this, because you don't know the torment that a woman can go through when she's dealing with something that she don't even understand. She has no clue. But I hope today, after this short brief that we've been in this, that you understand that's the tactic of the enemy. We learn all of this in the first story in the Bible that deals with sin, the introduction of sin, and how you have victory over sins right there in the beginning. If you miss the first story, the rest of the stories, you're confused about every one of them. You have no understanding. But here, Shaul, he knew this. He knew what I'm talking about. He says that Messiah is the power of Elohim and the wisdom of Elohim. He said Messiah is the wisdom of Elohim. So if he's the wisdom of Elohim, then we're talking about wisdom personified in the female essence. Then you have to understand, it was like Hasatan when he was in the wilderness and he was attacking his feminine essence, his flesh. He was attacking his flesh. He had to take on that feminine side of Adam, and he only could take that on in flesh. Other than that, he couldn't sense, he couldn't feel like we feel. He couldn't understand what we were going. He couldn't do it because he took it on. He understood every bit of it. And he had victory. So, ladies, there's victory in this stuff.
Amen.
The feminine side of Yeshua never failed. No, you have to fail.
That's right. Hallelujah.
We can have victory over this. We can have power over it. Is this helping you?
Amen.
Now, we're still talking about two trees, but now we've just changed it because two trees is also represented two women.
Yes.
And we're not to the second woman yet, but we're still talking about the one woman, which is representative of the tree of life. Just like we started with the tree of life first, we start with the woman that's represented in the tree of life. Proverbs chapter 8. Now you can keep reading Proverbs from chapter 3, every chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, but for sake of time, I can't make this whole story about Proverbs. I'll give you the chance to go home and read those other chapters. But I'm going to skip to chapter 8 and look at Proverbs 8:1. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On the top of the heights along the way between the paths, she has taken her stand. Beside the gate leading to the city, at the entrance, she shouts. This is what the Torah is doing. is screaming at us, is telling us, please keep my Torah. Please keep my appointed time. Please, please, please keep my Shabbat.
Right.
That's what it was doing. It stationed itself in the gate and it's screaming out to those who say, we follow Yeshua. He said, please keep my Shabbat. Please do these things. That's what it's been doing. And finally we heard. We heard. Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God we heard. Or we wouldn't be here today.
Amen.
We have to listen to it. And the whole time it was being attacked. The whole time. Mm-hmm. That feminine essence has been attacked. It's been attacked. And we wonder why the church world done what it did and went off the way it did. Why? The same thing that happened with Adam and Eve. And why they went off? Because the influence. They were influenced. And that's what it is. They influenced now by popularity. Large crowds, big groups, mega churches, it's influences. We all want a mega church. We all want to have pews full.
Yep.
But I learned a long time ago, I'd rather have people full than pews full.
Amen.
That's my job. I want to fill you up with the Word of God. You can see it for yourself. Whether I'm here or not, you still have the same anointing and the same power. I don't represent your anointing and your power. The Word does, and it has to be in you. And it can't be in you. The Bible said, how will they know except there be a preacher?
Right.
Somebody's got to preach it. Somebody's got to tell it. And I hope that you and I see how important that is. Beside the gate leading to the city, at the entrance, she shouted, O men, I call to you, and my voice is to the sons of men. You simple ones, understand insight. Do you see how much this makes more sense now? Why wisdom is saying these things? Why the Torah is saying this? Because we had no insight. We had no insight. Understand insight. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I speak noble words, and opening of my lips is about straightness. Do you see this? For my mouth speaks truth, and wrongness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, none of them twisted or crooked. Can you imagine reading the Torah with this understanding? When you read it, it's not a word that's twisted and crooked. This is twisted and crooked.
Right. Yes.
When you don't go and look at its original setting, you're reading a twisted and crooked translation. You have to go and investigate it for yourself. Does that make sense to you?
Right.
And so we've seen that with the damage is done over the years. Verse 9, all of them plain to him who understand and straight to those who find knowledge. Accept my discipline and not silver, and acknowledge rather than choice gold. Mm-hmm. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all delight are not comparable to her. I, wisdom, have dwelt with insight, and I find knowledge, foresight. The fear of Yehovah is to hate evil, and I have hated pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and a perverse mouth. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Mightiness is mine. By me sovereigns reign, and rulers make righteous inscriptions. By me princes rule, and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who earnestly seek me do find me. Let me see how important it is to seek the Torah, seek the truth. You'll find it. You just got to take some time. The more you spend with it, and you might start out, sometimes he just drops the whole thing. I remember Chad said something the other day about Brother Mills. Sometimes he drops the whole enchilada, And so sometimes he doesn't. He gives you the ingredients to put the enchilada together. Now, you got the enchilada. One's in ingredients form. You got the sauce, you got the wrapper, you got the meat. And it's just sitting on the table. And over here, you got the whole enchilada. You got that one from the enchilada store. And you got it. You got both of them. One of them needs some work. Sometimes when you get the text, it's just titled Two Trees. You got the ingredients, but you got to do the work. You got to go and investigate. You got to find it out. You got to search it out with everything that's in you. And then you got to start putting it together. And the first thing to start to put it together, you got to get some heat. And so you go, I'm struggling, man, the truck broke, Frankenstein went crazy. And that's the heat.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's in that time that you don't have time to read 10 pages, but you have time to pray for an hour. While they're fixing the truck. God, I need you. Oh, God, I can't make it without you. Cry out to him. And what he does in that 1 hour, if you'd have had a perfect truck, and all 10 hours to look at the scripture, you couldn't have got done what he can do in that 1 hour. You got to use everything available to you. Don't use excuse. Use what's available to you. Because you can excuse yourself right out of a supernatural move of God and a great breakthrough because you just had to use the heat. You got to put the heat on to get the meat.
That's right.
So you got everything to make the enchilada. You just got to do it a different way. Now, I always like to get just order one, you know.
Yeah.
Order me up a good sermon right now. It's nice. But when he tells you to revisit it, and you got to pull Hebrew words and Greek words and go on and on and on, and you got 7 pages full of these words, and then you eventually use one or two. But you know the story. You know the backdrop.
That's right.
It's easy to express an understanding of the person when you know the backdrop, and you may not use all the words. I use less than half of the words I look up because I can't get them all in. By the time I do, you don't remember the first one I said. So I just want to pull out what God wants me to do. I know the backdrop, though, and I can tell the story the way he wants me. So don't be discouraged in this. He's working on our lives to get us to a spot. But this is what wisdom's there for, is to help us along the way. And every woman here, you be an encouragement to your husband if you see him with a Bible in his hand. Don't ask him to take the trash out. It ain't time for trash. We can do trash after.
Right.
Sit beside him and say, let me see what you're reading. Don't be a hindrance to his... Don't be the flesh that hinders, but the flesh that encourages. Very important. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding, mightiness is mine. By me sovereigns reign and rulers make righteous inscriptions. By me princes rule and nobles and all judges of the earth. I love those who love me and those who earnestly seek me do find me. Riches and esteem are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold and fine gold, and my increase than choice silver. Notice that. He says the Torah is better than riches. When you think you got to go to the extra hour to make that extra 100, he said, I got something better than that. When you think, I can't give up a whole week, he said, let me take care of your goods while you take care of what you need to do. Listen to his words. He's telling us right here. He calls this better. So whatever we think we could have done, he said that mine is better. And so how many know God's got something better for you? He's got something better for you. I don't know how it's going to come, but it's going to be better. It doesn't matter how it comes, it's going to be better. Amen? So how many, what you expecting? Better. Amen. My fruit is better than gold and fine gold, and my increase than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of right ruling, to bestow substance to those who love me and to fill their treasuries. I mean, God to put stuff in your bank account.
Amen.
Would that be all right?
Uh-huh.
He said he'd fill our treasuries. He's either lying or he's going to do it.
That's right.
Now, I don't know if we want to accuse him of lying or we want to believe him to do it. If you take the latter, he'll do it, what he said he would do.
Amen.
He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging for bread. Verse 22, Yehovah possessed me, the beginning of his ways as the first of his works of old. Let me see that. So his works of old, and it says here in Proverbs that he possessed me. Do you know that Adam had this wisdom possess him? Now, Adam's responsibility was to make sure his wife was possessed by this understanding. That's where the no lack happened. And so Hasatan said, I know what I'll do. I got it all figured out. I'm going to influence his flesh, and I'm going to get to Adam. That's exactly what he did. Listen, if your wife can be influenced, it's your fault.
Come on.
Pray for her more. Cover her more. Plead over her life like it's the last chance you get. I mean, pray like she's on life support. And you're praying because you don't want to lose your wife. That's your wife. And you don't want to see... What man in here want to see their wife die?
That's right. Mom.
You would pray with everything, every fiber of your being. You'd cry out to God with real tears. Sometimes we got to get some real tears when we pray. And not just say, well, Lord, bless y'all and let her have a good day. Then we go and we have no feeling whatsoever. But if you grab onto the chair and put your face in the carpet and say, God, this is my wife. I pray for her safety. I want her to have everything she has. I want her mind to be sane. And things will change. It will change. But we have to be hungry. And so if you think women aren't missing that, we need to wake up, guys.
Amen.
We need to wake up. The problem is we're not being the protector that he asked us to be. He told Adam, keep it and guard it. Well, part of guarding it was his wife. She was part of the it that needed to be guarded. And Adam was failing in that area, and Hasatan took advantage. Same thing he does today. He takes advantage. He manipulates and takes advantage. And we have women that are trying to handle the affairs of men. And it's just not fair. Because it's not God's design. Men ought to handle the men affairs and be prayerful over their wives.
Right.
With passion.
Right.
And let God do the work. We have to take that position. If we don't, we'll fail.
Right.
This part was probably the toughest part of the two trees series because you look at it and you go, well, I don't even know what to say here. It's almost embarrassing. What are you going to say? We need to take that position more serious. Remember, this is a season of opportunity. The opportunity to leave from these tents and be different.
Amen.
And think about it, men, we have responsibility. Men, we're not just responsible for our own wives, we're responsible for the women in the church.
Right.
So I was on my face this morning saying, God, all of our ladies, I pray for them. I pray for their sanity. I pray for their protection. And I cast out the influences for manipulating their minds. We have our young women who are not just coming in. You know, you might have a hint of a husband. It's called a boyfriend. And you got to pray for them. Because maybe their boyfriend don't know this yet. But they got to be told. And the elder men to sit down and teach the young men the proper way to handle their affairs. We don't want to just teach them. You don't just get up and say, I do, and everything's hunky-dory. We know that's not the truth. There's a lie. You got to teach them how to be protectors, how to make sure they're doing their job. So you can look back in your past and you can see, every woman in here can look back in their past and see where men have failed.
Right.
You can look back and see that. And it's just not fair. It's not fair. And God's given us information, so we should not have that still going on in the church today. We're supposed to be saved, right? We're supposed to be born again. We're supposed to be servants of the Most High. Yet the same stuff's happening in church. That's nonsense. It shouldn't happen. You know, we talk about having victory over this and that, but we haven't gained the authority of our position to make sure he's not in our Garden of Eden manipulating and destroying our wives. How many of you see how important this is? Still talking about two trees, but now he's referring them to two women because he takes that figurative understanding from this, what we see here literally, and he moves it in and he uses women to express it to us. And I'm going to give you some examples here shortly, and hopefully I can get to it in a little bit. Yehovah possessed me from the beginning of his way. As the first of his works of old, I was set up ages ago, had the first before the earth ever was, before the earth, wisdom. That's why I tell people, they say, well, I share with people, some ministers, this is what you get, not for just regular folks, but for ministers, minister to minister. Well, Pastor, why y'all going in that direction? Do you know that the law of Moses didn't come till much later? And I do like that because I didn't just hear that. This is a minister. Have you read Proverbs? I just read to show you how silly of a statement that is. Let me read it again. Because they think, well, it only applies to Israel because God didn't have laws. So you mean he made something without a law first in place. So what would God that creation? What would instruct that creation? What instructs the earth to do what it does? You think it just does what it does? It's instructed to do something. What instructs the sun to come up every morning? What instructs the moon to be in its circuit? Do you understand? He has rules in place. It has to. The sun has to come up in the east and set in the west. It can't say, well, I changed my mind. I'm going north and south. God won't allow it. There's certain stars have to stay exactly where he put them. They can't move an inch. The moon has to go in its cycle. It has to do its cycle. It's going to go dark. It has to. Because God's using them as timepieces. And they're authored by God. So let me read it again. I was set up ages ago. Now this is wisdom. I was set up ages ago at the first before earth ever was. And we declared if we put parentheses on side of wisdom, it's what? Are you kidding me? You mean there was a Torah before the earth ever was?
Yeah.
Because God is his word.
That's right.
God is his word. He didn't make the stuff up because man came along and made mistakes or had to give a set of rules to make man better. God was already his word alive and well. And he puts it in function, in a functional way for man to be able to take hold of it. Some people say, well, he didn't speak it till Mount Sinai. So, you know, they believe literally that Abraham didn't have the Torah. When I was told that, I went, just like Brother Scott just said, okay. I just had it like this. I went, okay. Either I lost my mind. Uh-huh. Oh, you can't read.
That's right.
Exactly. Abraham didn't have the Torah. Mm-hmm. What about the verse when it says he kept all my Torah? What about that? What are you doing with that verse? We're tearing that off because you said he didn't have it. Well, it didn't come to Mount Sinai. He didn't manifest it to the people at a large scale to Mount Sinai. But Adam had the Torah. According to what I just read. There wasn't a blade of grass that came up without instruction. There wasn't a leaf on a tree that didn't come up without instruction. There wasn't a fruit on a tree that didn't come up without instruction. And there was definitely no man that come on in the world without instruction and no woman without instruction. Everybody had instruction. They had the Torah of God, his instruction. And so this is something I think we need to put a lot of this nonsensical understandings to bed and not be afraid to say it. When people try to kind of gymnastically flip through the Bible to get away from keeping the Torah. If you're not trying to avoid it, you don't try to speak against it. You go, yeah, that's great, man, that's great. I want to do that. Especially when he starts to tell us the stuff we can and can't do. It gets a little tight. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. He's talking about the seed. When there was no spring, heavy with water, before mountains were sunk, before hills were brought forth, before he had made the earth and the field, or the first dust of the world, the stuff that made Adam, the first dust of the world that made Adam, this wisdom is saying, I'm here. The Torah, the instructions of God, was always with. How could something not always be with God if it comes from God? It's his instructions. He's not saying anything. Before he made the earth, he believed that his instructions was what guided him. And now he gives them to us. He shared them with us in verbal form so we can understand it with our understanding. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. That takes it a different level, huh? Compared to heaven. In the beginning, God creates the heavens first, then the earth. When he prepares the heavens, who was there? Wisdom. Which is? The Torah. Did I define that? No, the word defined that. You understand? So when you start to see how long Torah's been around, it makes you appreciate it a little bit more that you get a chance to take part in it. not believe the nonsense that it's done away with. It makes right. That's crazy. It makes no sense. It's even more, now that I'm preaching this, it's even more crazy than that. Can you imagine taking the wisdom away?
Yeah.
What do you got when there's no wisdom? A bunch of dummies running around saying you don't have to keep it.
I didn't want to say it. We blame it on you first.
Wisdom is important.
That's right.
So you can't
that's
say,
right.
Why would you ever say God took something away? When he had it at all times, for all reasons, for all purposes, and if you take it away, it has no ability to affect the outcome of something. He's trying to affect our outcome. He wants our outcome to be better. But if we're not in the position to let the wisdom of God live in our life, which is the instructions of God, which is the Torah of God, we're going to wind up in trouble. How many see how important this is?
Right.
When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed the circle on the face of the deep, when he set the clouds above, when he made the fountain of the deep strong, when he gave the sea its laws, how many know the sea has laws?
Yes, it does.
If you take the sea with no instructions in the sea, the sea's just going to go wherever it wants to go, but it has laws.
Yes, it
is. Rivers flow a certain way. They have laws. When they flip to the other side of the equator, how many know those laws change? Do you know that in navigation school they teach you that if you stay on one side, and you're going in and out, the signs go different. You have the signs. So when you're coming in our sphere, where's the red at? What side the red's on and you're coming back in? Red, right, return. Right? You know if you go around the world and you're going in, it's the opposite. The red's on the left. Because you're going in a different, that's only in international waterways. It affects it because things are different. Because it has a law. It makes sense for where they live. Here wouldn't make sense. We go, they got it red on the wrong side. Right? But if they come here, they say the same thing. They got their red. Them people, they don't know if they're going or coming.
That's right.
The red's on the wrong side. But it depends where you are, that perspective. That's why it changes that way. And so it has laws. There's a reason for it. Do you know that God has laws that operate this world? It wouldn't function without the instructions of God. It wouldn't function. There's laws.
That's right.
Animals don't just randomly do things. They've been in their DNA, they have laws of principle of existence. So they operate. Now it's flawed. Remember, all of it's flawed because of sin. Even the trees are flawed, the grass is flawed. I mean, you cut your grass, you got to stay up with it. But then in the grass, there's weeds that grow up. You get these weeds because it's flawed. Mm-hmm. Remember, he said thorns and thistles, and God causes them to grow. Mm-hmm. Was thorns and thistles a part of Adam's world? Mm-hmm. No. Because of sin, there was an additional thing added in, and it was put in motion. It's in motion, been in motion ever since. You let a field just start randomly grow, and all of a sudden, it won't be long. You have berry bushes out there. There'll be thorns and thistles will start growing because now it's flawed. But before, there was none of that. You walked out on an Adams field, it looked like a golf course. It was just beautiful. They didn't even sell lawnmowers. Did y'all know that?
Imagine that.
It was just beautiful. No weeds.
Uh-huh.
It was perfect. No anthills.
Uh-huh.
We've been squirting there since we got here.
Oh, yeah.
I got in this morning. I had to go get the stuff to squirt because there was none of that. But it's flawed now. But God still has a law to help in the flawed purpose. It's in motion and it doesn't change. He gave the sea its law so that the waters would not transgress its mouth. The water can't transgress the mouth. Let me see that. When he inscribed the fountains of the earth, does this make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
It can't happen.
Right.
Because God set parameters. So what stops the ocean just from continuing on? He sets parameters. He stops it. Then I was beside him, a master workman, and I was his delight, day by day rejoicing before him all the time. Rejoicing in the world, His earth and my delight were with the sons of men. And now listen to me, you children, for blessed are they who guard my ways.
Amen. Right.
What does the Master say about guarding his ways? John 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, you shall guard my commands. How many love Yeshua?
Yes.
Do you guard his commands? Very important that we guard his commands. We have to treasure his commands. They shouldn't sound like laws to us, but they should sound like privileges to us.
Amen.
If you treat the Shabbat as something that I only do it because I'm told to do it, and you never take it's not a privilege to you to work 6 days and take the seventh day as a rest. Today's Shabbat.
That's right.
We want to take pleasure in it. We ought to be excited. Mm-hmm. For 6 days, we ought to be excited for the seventh day. Mm-hmm. For 6 days, you ought to be thinking about Shabbat. That way when Shabbat rolls around on the seventh day, you're not thinking about it no more, you're in it. You step into it. It ought to be a pleasure to you. It ought to be something you think about all the time. And so Amen. Yeshua saying, if you love me, you shall guard my commands. Let me ask this question. Does Yeshua have different commands than his father had? If he did, that would be contrary to one another.
Right.
To even think he did is ludicrous.
Right.
He has the same commands his father had. Yeshua talked about the Shabbat just like his father talked about the Shabbat, and he practiced Shabbat attendance all his life.
Right.
He practiced it. Exodus 20, verse 6. This is a couple of those verses kind of just to show you how this thing lays out. Because we got to wonder, what commands is Yeshua talking about? But showing love and commitment to thousands, to those who love me and guard my commands. This is part of Exodus 20, is part of the command chapter, which gives the commands. But he said, showing love and commitment to thousands, of those who love me and guard my commands.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm looking at my time here. And I'm thinking I could go to 12 because we usually start at 10.
Yeah, that's right.
Am I confused?
No.
Intermission.
The movie mask. Yeah, the movie had intermission.
Let me finish up. I got a few more verses.
Come on.
So verse 33, back to 8. Let me just finish up the 8th chapter.
Okay.
Verse 33, listen to the discipline and become wise, and do not refuse it. Verse 34, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gate. Daily, not just on Shabbat, daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my door. Think about that, at the post of his door, daily. Verse 35, here's the key verse. I read all of 8 to get to 35.
Oh, man.
For whoever finds me shall find life. Why? Because wisdom is a
tree of life.
Right. Whoever finds me finds life. Whoever finds Torah finds life.
Amen.
Did we define that or did he define that? I didn't define it. He defined it. Think about that. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from Yehovah. John 14, verse 6 says this. Yeshua said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. You notice in Yeshua's statement, he says nothing about this. Because he didn't deal with that. He overcame that. You understand? Now, did Satan try to influence him?
Yeah.
If you be the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.
Uh-huh.
You understand? Now, he's saying what he says, but Yeshua says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Now, is he quoting the Brit Hadishah, or is he quoting the Torah?
Yeah.
Did he need to know that? Did he need to know that information?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
If you be the Son of God, fall down and worship me, and I'll give all these kingdoms to you. See? But he says, listen, I'm not going to do that. And so he tried to influence him, and every one of those influences was dealing with his flesh.
That's right.
The flesh is hungry. Uh-huh. The spirit's not hungry. The flesh is hungry. Uh-huh. The flesh desires to have more. The flesh wants to have more. And so every time he attacked his flesh. Right. So Yeshua said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Mm-hmm. In the last verse of Proverbs 8:36, but he who sins against me injures himself. All who hates me loves death. Verse 35 and 36 is important because he talks about the two trees. Mm-hmm. In 35 and 36, two trees. Whoever finds me finds life, tree of life. Verse 36, but he who sins against me injures himself, and he who hates me loves death, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to slaughter, and to destroy. I have come that you might have life, and that you might possess it beyond measure. Yeah. Another verse that talks about the two trees. John 10:10. Talks about the two trees. One's talking about death, the other's talking about life. John 12:48, he who rejects me does not receive my word, has one who judges him. The word that I have spoken shall judge him in the last day. And so we see that he is indicating to us these wonderful principles laid out. So we have the tree of life. So I'll stop right there and we'll hit the next part next tomorrow. All right? And so how are you going to do them? What's tomorrow? Sunday? Who hasn't spoken yet? Whose turn? Women, raise your hand. Who's speaking? All right? Well, we got to squeeze that in. We're going to run out of time here quickly. I can finish mine at church. But we'll have a midrash session maybe here in a little while.
There we go.
But we'll take a break right now. Okay? I went for a good little stretch here. But I was getting a little excited. Did it make sense to everyone what we talked about so far, about two women? I know we ain't got to the second woman yet, but we're about to. And when you see that second woman here in just a little bit, it'll make all the sense in the world to you. So maybe we'll do that in a little while. Maybe we can do two sections. Would that be all right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. What else are you going to do? Walk around and
right.
Throw wood on the fire?
I had nothing else to do.
Yeah. The fried chicken? We're gonna put fire on. We got a fried chicken.
We're kind of early for lunch.
Yeah.
You know. So why don't we take a little while, maybe come back and
amen.
And go to lunch or something.
Amen.
Would that be all right?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Get something to drink and come back.
Yeah.
All right.
Amen.
Why it's still fresh on my mind.